Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I think it's time for a checkup on the churches in America. Assess, if you will, for us where the American church is in 2012-2013.
Well, that's a big question, and I wish I could say the Lord has said to me, because I would feel I was on better ground. The Lord hasn't spoken to me in any special way, but in terms of my heart, I have great concerns for where the American church is. I feel like the church in America has lost a lot of ground in the last several decades. I feel like we're losing the new generation. I think all the numbers show that this is so. It's also true, and I get to travel a lot, and I get to hear many different people speak in local church settings, that for the most part, in the American church, I don't think there's a sense of urgency. It's kind of like, we'll be all right, don't worry about it all that much, and we'll solve certain problems, but there isn't this awareness that the church is really in trouble, and give it another couple generations, and it's going to be in deep, deep trouble. I would say it's not that far away from the American church looking a whole lot like the church in Europe. And there are recovery points in Europe, but for the most part, the church is dead throughout Europe. And I see America in that same situation. So if you ask me, where is the church? I would say we're in big trouble. I think that for the most part, our ministers are pastoral more than they are prophetic. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. They're caring for people's needs, they're shepherding, they're doing that, but they're not sounding the word of warning like you get in the Old Testament prophets a great deal. Jesus was interesting when he came. He spoke a very big message. He spoke a personal message, but he also spoke a very big message, which was about an alternative kingdom. You know, the world is in a mess, but I want to talk to you about a different king. And I want you to know that here's a place that you've been looking for all your life, and you can experience it. And it had that electrifying sense of something wonderful taking place. I don't hear that in terms of the preaching that goes on. It doesn't seem to have that same grand sense of something phenomenal is happening. You want to be a part of what is going on. The excitement isn't there. Now, that's my read on it, and I get to travel a lot. I think that one of the big problems with most American pastors is they aren't exposed to congregations other than the ones that they know. They're preaching there most of the time. So maybe they don't have that same sense that I do of being able to look at the church in a broad sense. My guess is if you're in a suburban church where a lot of people have moved into that suburb and it's in a growth factor, you're probably seeing churches that are doing relatively well. Their budgets are being met. Maybe they're stretching a little bit, but if you're in changing neighborhoods and so on, you're probably saying, where's the church in this area? You know, if you go into the inner city of Chicago, you'll see some storefront churches, but you don't see the big suburban churches being built there because that's really tough territory. And I personally feel, I think the word is probably concerned, broken in some ways as to where the American church is. Now, that's my assessment. And when I speak, that comes out a lot. I probably am more prophetic than I am pastoral. I think there's a pastoral side to me, but I think the prophetic side comes out much stronger. So anyway, that's my assessment, Dean.
How will this situation be corrected?
That's assuming it'll be corrected. My assumption is probably in America, apart from a miracle, it's not going to be corrected. If you go back into Israel and you say, how can we correct it? It never self-corrected. It started very high, and then it lost, then there would be a reviving time, then it would go down more. And the truth is, it eventually bottomed out. The whole experiment with the nation of Israel turned out to be a failure from a human vantage point. God used it for good. But from the human standpoint, it didn't self-correct. There were times of what we would call revival or restoration, but the downward trend was always there. It's like a patient with a terminal illness. You can look at the chart at the bottom of the bed and it's always going down, and it may be good days, but there aren't enough good days in the whole trend of what is happening. It is downward, downward, down, until eventually there is death. It's hard for nations to sustain, a couple hundred years of just really being good. one of Israel's problems was they were prosperous in a lot of ways, and the prosperity was something that people didn't handle very well. And as long as they could meet their own needs, they didn't need God to help them meet their needs. And I think that's one of the huge problems in America. It's known incredible prosperity. It's unlike any other nation in the history of the world in terms of the wealth that it's had and the size of the nation that it is. And I don't see this self-correction coming. Part of that is because revival usually begins with a deep-seated sense of dissatisfaction. I'm not happy with where things are. And I think for the most part, as I'm watching what's taking place in the church, and I'm watching what's taking place with the key spokespeople who are in the church, there doesn't seem to be that deep-seated sense of dissatisfaction. What is the problem with this? There are places of renewal. There's not a question in my mind about that. There are many people who are trying to make major changes in terms of restructuring what the local church is like and such. But when you talk about the general trends, I don't see people saying we need to get together and pray because we're in trouble. The church is in trouble. I think the church is in trouble in America. I think that it's not in trouble. If you ask me where it is in China, where it is in India, where it is in certain parts of Africa, where it is in Central and South America, it's a whole different picture. But if you're asking me where the church is in America, I would say it's in desperate need of revival. And I don't see that happening. I don't even see the early signs of it. I don't see this call for repentance on the part of ministers around the country. It's almost like it's living in illusion. And does that mean they're bad people? I don't think they're bad people. I just feel that from a national perspective, it's not turning around. Certainly not in my lifetime at all. Will God raise up a leader, a group? I hope so. I don't know who those people will be. I don't know how they get the ear of the people. You know, I don't know how things get bad enough. I was kind of odd in this sense, but when the recession came, in some ways as a minister, I saw that as a gift from the Lord, because often God will use times like that to bring the people back to himself. It hasn't happened in that sense. There's recession, there's a lot of complaining, but there is no sense of, I think God may be speaking to us as well. In fact, if you even suggest that the recession has something to do with God, I mean, that's not even tolerated. People they just think that's absolutely insane, you know. So that's not the way the Old Testament prophets were. They interpreted drought, they interpreted the locust and all that. God is speaking to us. You can hardly do that in America. It's much too sophisticated to its own detriment.
Mm. If we move from the big picture to the local setting, a town of, say, 50 to 100,000 people, what's the pastor of a church who might have a attendance or membership of 100 to 150? What's that pastor to do?
Well, I think that the role of the pastor who is to represent the heart of God to the people, I think they have to think beyond their own setting to where is the nation. It's not easy to do. You know, you get tied up with the busyness of what is going on, but if you're I'm in Chicagoland area. If you're in a wealthy suburban setting in Chicagoland, you know very little about racial problems in terms of the city. Well, you could put it into when I was growing up. There was a revival going on in the African American church called this whole civil rights movement. But in all the churches I was in all during that time, I heard nothing about that at all. You know, God was doing something in an amazing way. But it was as though I was totally oblivious to it. And it was mostly coming about because of African-American clergy. They were preaching a new message, and they were lifting their people, which was exactly what white people said they should be doing. You know, assume it's not somebody else's problem, it's your problem. And the African-American church leaders did this. But somehow I was oblivious to it. I can't believe that. Now, eventually I moved into the city and I became very involved in all of those issues and was kind of the lone white minister in all African-American or black settings. So I learned, but it was Johnny-come-lately to a lot of what was going on. I think that's the way the American church is in many ways now. They're kind of content with their own setting. If it's going well, then it's fine. So what is the person to do? You know, somehow you need to be exposed to what is going on. You need to think, I would say, think big picture. I would say that a pastor, and see, I was raised in the little town of Quincy, Illinois. Quincy's about 50,000, but it's off the beaten track. If you want to go to Quincy, you got to intend to go to Quincy. Otherwise, you're not going to go there because the highways are going elsewhere, you know. But somehow you have to say, I'm a part of Quincy, and I think that's very good, and I want to know about my congregation. I want to know about my town. I want to know about my state. I want to know about my country, and I want to know about the world. Because if I shut my people off from what is happening in China in terms of the church and they don't know anything about it, I've done them a disservice. If I shut them off from where the country is going, even though we may be doing well in Quincy, you know, then somehow I've not really represented to them what God is doing in his church or what God wants to do. So you have to think a bigger picture than your local setting, and that's very hard to do, but that's what leaders do. So my answer to you is that part of it is reading, part of it is making sure you get out of your... I mean, it's like the pastor who's never been overseas, and then they go overseas, and then all of a sudden it's like a whole new world to them. And they say, I never dreamed that we had it so good, and then they begin to talk missions in a whole new way. That's what you need to do, and it's not an easy thing. It involves, again, almost a self-education process, which could be through reading, which could be through a lot of different ways, but probably friendships that give you exposure to other areas as well, and probably as well saying, Lord, what would it take to see this country turn around, spiritually speaking? And how does our church play a part in that whole turnaround? Because if we only pray about the sick people and the non-Christian people in our own setting, and we never see that even though maybe we double in a period of a year, that still hasn't affected the whole of what is going on in terms of the country, and I need to be brokenhearted about that, then we're really not representing the mind of God. It's a difficult thing. I'm fortunate in that I've been given friendships with people all around the world, and that means that I need to keep saying things, even like you're asking me questions. I can't just be located in one setting. I got to get the big picture. So it's not just this is my world, but what is the world? Interesting, Dean, I was reading the other day in Isaiah. I've been doing a lot of reading in the prophets, and there's that historic passage where Hezekiah is given 15 more years to live. And so he shows all of the people of Babylon, or the envoys from Babylon, all of his treasures. And Isaiah the prophet says, what didn't you show? I said, I showed him everything. You have been very foolish, because your own offspring are going to be taken to Babylon. They will be made eunuchs there. You know, and the Bible says, Hezekiah says, this is a good thing because it's going to be peaceful in my day. And, you know, Hezekiah was a great leader, but in some way that provincialism, it's okay because in my day it's going to be all right. I don't care that much about my children or my grandchildren. You know, something's nutty about that. Mm-hmm. It's not that he was a bad man. He was a very good king, but something was wrong in terms of his head as to what he was saying. And that's where I think a lot of people in the clergy are. They're just kind of, you know, what is it in terms of my world? And you got to get beyond your world to the big world and what breaks the heart of God, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. What I hear you say is local church pastors must learn to think beyond just their own settings if they're to truly represent the mind of the Lord to their people.
Yeah, they get it. God is a personal God, but he's also a big picture God. Yeah, and so how to tap into both of those and keep a balance.
Well, we thank you for joining us for our time together today. And as always, we invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next sermoncoach.com podcast.